Amen. At this time, I'd like to introduce my husband, Elder William Liverman, he's going to be bringing us the Word of God. Can you receive Elder Liverman with a hearty amen? Thank you so much.
Amen.
Grace and peace to the household of faith.
Grace and peace.
Thank God for everyone here. Amen. Thank God for even those that are on their way. And we just thank God for you. And let's give the Lord a glorious hand for this Family and Friends Day. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. The moment I stepped in the back today, when I heard that first key, I said, Sister Ruth, amen. Had to be Sister Ruth, amen. Thank God for her. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your just Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the essence of your word. And Father, right now, we just ask that you would edify your word. We thank you for everyone here, Father. But above all, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for what you did for us in eternity. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for you ask you to breathe upon this service, Lord. Breathe upon the husband, wife, sons, and daughters. And Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, let everything be said, be done to edify the body of Christ. Oh God, put aside all flesh, but let Christ be magnified and exalted. And we thank you for your love. And we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you, and we always be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank God again, church. It's interesting. And I thought about this as I was preparing this message. That once upon a time, in the essence of Christ, over 2,000 years ago, there was the greatest fight in Christendom. The greatest fight in terms of what God did for his people. Now today, sadly say, there's still church fights going on even today. But the fight at this time, 2,000 years ago, the fights today, some churches, they split up. In fact, we're moving toward conventions. And the summer is usually time when a lot of churches have their conventions. And I heard, I haven't gone in many years, but they say they still fight at conventions in terms of doctrine, what's in the Bible. But the fight that occurred 2,000 years ago, the fights today, was nothing compared to the fight that occurred 2,000 years ago. That fight between the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery, that volume of truth that God gave to the apostle Paul for the grace church, and the kingdom apostles, Peter, James, and John. It was a literal fight, church. And someone said, fight? These are men of God. How can men of God fight? Well, it's interesting because if you do not divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants, there'll be confusion, there'll be fights, and the reason there are so many fights today, because God's people have not learned to divide this Bible. You want peace in your home. If you want the peace that passeth all understanding, divide the word of God according to dispensations and covenants. Amen. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Now, I'm not going to apologize, but we're going to do a lot of reading today. In fact, what I've done, now process-wise, purpose-wise, God is the one that brings knowledge, understanding to his people. But we're going to do something different process-wise today. Roz is going to have a, Roz, pass out the folder. And what we're going to do, inside the folder, there's a blank sheet of paper. You should have a folder and a pencil. And amen, I see some of you have already ready to take notes. But what we're going to facilitate that process, because I'm going to, when you get the folder, I'm just going to have a simple instruction for you in terms of what to do with that folder. You should have a pencil. And while Roz passes this out, you can't say this too many times. Let's say it again. If you do not, divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you will be confused. And we're going to do some division today. Somebody said, wait a minute, this is not a school. I came to jump up and down. Well, listen, once you understand what God did for you, if you want to jump up and down, amen, wonderful. But many times, see, don't be like the sister who, I mean, she was in the service. She was jumping, moving around. Everyone said, oh, she must, God touch her. After service, they asked her, sister, what did you learn today? I don't know what I learned, but it was good. No, you come to church to learn. You come to church to learn. So if everyone, Ross Pesties are over here, amen. So what we're going to do, we'll go ahead and, when you get the folder and the pencil, all I want you to do is take church, take a line, draw a line directly in the middle of that plain paper, the plain sheet of paper. Draw a line directly in the middle. On the left side, put kingdom gospel. On the right side, put grace gospel. See, many times, in fact, even in teaching, the way God put together, created our brain, many times when you write things down yourself, you ask an English teacher, it basically creates ownership. And it's okay. That's why notes are so important. But we're going to have you to write this down and then, church, some things I'm going to say, some of y'all may feel like tearing this paper up after service. Hold on to it. Go home and put it in a three-ring binder. Everyone has a three-ring binder. And just save it. Amen. Just save that. Because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Now, Deacon Gavin is our reader today. Deacon Gavin, I want you to, again, we're going to do a lot of reading. We're not going to apologize for this. Because Randall already mentioned that. He said, Brother Lord, just hang, preach 10 more minutes because I want to make sure everything is ready. So bear with me. I'm going to be out. I plan to sit down 1 o'clock, but if I go a few minutes over, amen. Blame Brother Randall. So, draw a line, church, again, draw a line that all from the top to the middle, I repeat, going real slow. Left side, put kingdom gospel. Right side, put grace gospel. Now, while you're doing that, Deacon Gavin is our reader. Deacon Gavin, get ready. And I hope you have your Bible. Before we cover these demarcations, Deacon Gavin, I want you to read the whole chapter, Galatians chapter 1. Read the entire chapter. Yes, go on. We'll do the King James today because of the scriptures. Amen. Now, let me say this. We at the Grace Gospel Church, we call the text. Then you exegete the text. You explicate, you explain, and then after that you sit down. Because let the Holy Spirit do his job. Amen? The Holy Spirit is going to always have his way. So Galatians chapter 1. Now, in terms of someone saying, why was there a church fight? We're going to look at, let's analyze some history. What occurred 2,000 years ago that created all of this confusion in the early church? And sad to say, in most churches today, there's still this confusion. But if you align the message, church, based upon the dispensation, and we're not going to, this lesson today, the message today is not dealing with the dispensations. We're going to have a seminar in June, men's fellowship, on the seven dispensations. But the bottom line is that the messages must be divided. Deacon Gavin, you may begin. Galatians chapter 1.
We're reading from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatian church, King James Version, entire chapter. Mm-hmm. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ.
It's church. Grace of Christ. Grace of Christ.
Unto another gospel.
Unto another gospel. Another gospel, in parenthesis, if you have your Bible, Paul referred to another gospel, which was the kingdom gospel. At that time, if you go back in history, the disciples preached what Jesus commanded them to preach, the gospel of the kingdom. And church, you know that. You all hear that in Sunday school. God, Adam and Eve sinned. God raised up leaders to prophesy the coming deliverer. God worked through Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, that the deliverer is coming. And this was Jesus Christ. So in essence, then Jesus was born. And he called the 12 disciples to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, during this time, God had a secret, which we're going to cover in a few minutes. But the key is this. During this time, the gospel of the kingdom, where it says another gospel, put in parenthesis, kingdom. This was the other gospel. See, there were two messages that were taking place at this time. Grace gospel, kingdom gospel. And if you don't separate these gospels, church, there's no way you're going to understand the Bible. Keep going, Deacon Gavin, please.
Him that I called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Keep reading.
As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Subject, what was this revelation? Paul, this message was given by the revelation that came directly from God. Keep going, D, please.
For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
All right, stop. Did Paul's, now understand, in the message, historical wise, Jesus Christ appeared, the disciples, Peter, James, John, Matthew, all of them, they were the earthly kingdom apostles that walked with Jesus. At that time, Paul was nowhere around. So in other words, Paul did not go to Peter and say, tell me, teach me this kingdom message.
No,
the message that Paul received was unheard of in times past. A new message for a new day. Keep going.
Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God in me.
Okay, now they go to, now we're going chapter 2, verse 1 through 7.
Amen. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seemed to be somewhat whatsoever they were, and make it no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me.
Now, church, stop. If you have a pen, underline, Deacon Gavin's going to read verse 7, please. If you don't, I gave you all a pencil. You do have underline that, what he's going to read right now, underline that, church. Deacon Gavin, verse 7.
But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision,
the Gentiles,
was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
Keep going.
For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles.
Verse 90.
And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision.
Church, how much plainer can you make this? The gospel of the kingdom, Peter, the leader of the kingdom church, the gospel of the grace of God, the apostle Paul, the leader of the grace church. Church, you have to draw a line of demarcation between these messages. If you do not, there's no way you're going to understand the Bible. Now, number two, there was a minister some time ago that wanted to do, he was convinced that Peter and Paul preached the same thing. Well, let me ask you this. If they preached the same thing, why was this war? What was going on? In other words, when God called, when God took Paul to the desert of Arabia, Paul came back with a different message. It was a message that was unheard of before in times past. Time passed, but now ages to come. In other words, what God gave the apostle Paul was distinctly different. And by the way, let me categorize this. We're not lifting up no man here. Heaven forbid we're lifting up Paul, Peter, anybody else. The only person in this church we're going to ever lift up is Christ.
Christ.
I repeat, Christ, Christ, Christ. He's the one to be what? Magnified. But at the same time, there's so much confusion because God's people are trying to intertwine two covenants. See, there are two covenants here. You have the new covenant. That's the promise that God gave to Abraham. And you have the grace covenant. That's where we are today. We are living in today's age of grace. Now, what about this distinct message? It's something else we need to understand. Let's go to Romans 2:16. Romans 2:16. We are reading Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, and 2 Timothy 2:8. Again, a lot of readings today. Romans 2:16. Deacon Gavin, you may begin once you.
Now we're reading from the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 16, again, King James Version. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
According to my gospel. The Apostle Paul, God gave this message to the Apostle Paul, and he said, this is my gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't bragging. He was making a fact that God gave this message to him. Yeah. Go on to Romans 16:25.
Mm-hmm. Now, Romans chapter 16, verse 25, again, King James Version. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began.
Now it says, to him that's able to establish you, church, according to my gospel. Now, let me share with you. Let me give you a little insight on biblical history. Do you notice he talks about verse 25, it talks about my gospel? Mm-hmm. Do you notice in verse 24 it says amen? Now, church, you read your Bible. You read your Bible, Old Testament, from all the books of the Bible. When it says amen, that's the end. Somebody said, why did they put amen by verse 24? What happens, church, is that the Greek scholars, when Paul talks about my gospel, what they did, when they read that, they said, no, they tried to eradicate that. So some of the younger manuscripts were just in verse 24. Right. Because my gospel was too intimidating to say that this is what my gospel. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have amen in verse 24. It shouldn't be there. Because then you see amen at the end of verse 27. He makes the statement, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, this is what my gospel. 2 Timothy 2:8, Deacon Gavin, please.
Now, from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, King James Version. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Paul states my gospel. Now, church, do a little study. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Any of the kingdom apostles, do you ever hear them refer that the kingdom gospel was their gospel? Won't find it. This was a unique gospel message that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. And that's where we are today, church. We're living into God's age of grace. Now, in terms of this message, for those that are convinced, in fact, my gospel tells, I'm thinking of a story. When I was teaching, we would have these retreats. And I remember a lot of times the teachers, we would have training, and my wife would always go with me. And there was this dear teacher, she asked Elder Karen, right, to join her. They had a little fellowship, and one of the teachers were one of these signs and wonders, casting out devils, you know, oh, the tongues, all of this. And so Elder Karen was listening. She was saying, well, what about, is she mentioning Ephesians, Romans, Galatians? She mentioned the letters written by Paul. She said, well, Paul, I don't know. And so Elder Karen said, what do you mean? Well, he's talking about my gospel. He is bragging. No, he wasn't bragging. He was making a point that it was a unique message, church, for the age we're living in, the age of grace. You should thank God for grace. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Why do people fight grace? I don't understand. Grace is what brought us to the table. We're saved by grace, for by grace ye are, having been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are saved by grace. So grace got us here. Amen. Now, for those that are convinced, oh, no, the apostles preach the same thing. In fact, when Judas fell, some of the old books there tell you, you would think that Paul replaced the Judas that failed. So now you're placing Paul within the kingdom apostles. And that's not accurate, church.
No.
The messages are different. So I'm going very slow. That's why we're building up to the fact that these messages must be divided according to dispensations and covenants. Now, for those that are convinced, oh, no, it's all one message. All one message. Old covenant, new covenant. So you're saying the disciples, Peter, James, John, Paul, they all preach the same thing. Well, Deacon Gavin, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Now, this is Peter talking. Now, we're going to refer back to this at the end before I close it down today. But for the essence of comprehension, Peter says something very unique about Paul's, the message that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. Peter said, now, this is the Apostle Peter, church, understand. This is not a heathen that had no relationship with God. This is the leader of the kingdom church. Peter said this. Deacon Gavin, again, we're reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16.
Again, from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, King James Version. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
Church, let me ask you a question. The Holy Spirit through Peter stated that our brother Paul, all the wisdom given to him, and some of these things are hard to understand. If they were preaching the same thing, why did Peter say in Paul, let's paraphrase this, Peter said in Paul's writings, the mystery. What's the mystery? That volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church, and those 14 epistles, Romans through Hebrews, and let me say again, the whole Bible is the Word of God. Genesis through Revelation. The whole Bible is the Word of God, church, but we need to understand, God's Word is progressive in Revelation. God reveals more to some of his members than others. It's the essence of grace, church.
Jesus.
It's just that in the mystery, God revealed more to the Apostle Paul than the kingdom apostles.
Absolutely.
In fact, I have some good news for you. For those that are living this age of grace, God has revealed, you know more about the eternal workings of God than Peter, James, and John.
Sure,
and all the disciples who walked with Jesus.
Sure,
because in their mind, when Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, what happened? They were waiting for the kingdom to come.
Mm-hmm.
But church, let me ask you this. Has the kingdom come yet?
No.
We know the kingdom has not come.
No.
They were waiting, but we know God had a secret. And what was that secret? God put the kingdom message on hold to usher in the greatest dispensation of all, the time we live in now, the dispensation of grace, the gospel of the grace of God. The greatest. We should be so grateful, church. We live in the greatest age.
The greatest.
And we're going to prove it. It's not matter. We the Holy Spirit. Why? Here's a question. Why did the Apostle Paul make the statement that this was my gospel? Go to Philippians chapter 1 and 10. Says it's not about what the preachers, it's not about what man, woman say. It's about what does the Word of God say. And church, let me say this. This teaching today is not popular. It's not going to... See, I thought about something. Let's go back to the law. Now, you know, the law, you have less information.
Mm-hmm.
When the law told the Israelites, God raised up Moses, Joshua, many others, to turn from idols and keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? Rebel, kill the prophets. Then came Jesus, our Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The message is return from the law and turn to Christ. Mm-hmm. What did they do? Rebel? Mm-hmm. No, they said, we want the law of Moses. And the Bible says you're not under the law, but you're under what? Grace. Now, if they're going to rebel under the old covenant, mm-hmm. and if they're going to rebel under that message that Jesus preached, the kingdom gospel, what a world that they're going to do today? When you tell the people that everything was already done, that we walk by faith and not by sight. But now, here's the problem when you do not exegete the Bible according to narrative, according to what's there. If in your King James, Philippians 1:10, Deacon Gavin, please read that.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, King James Version. That ye may approve things that are excellent.
Excellent.
That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Now, church, here's the problem. In your word, if you have a King James, most 99% of you, you see that word excellent? Mm-hmm. Understand, the Bible was written in the King James 1611. Now, someone said, what about the Bible, scriptures before then? Understand, church, the Bible was written in Greek. I mean, you learned that in elementary school. The Bible was written in Greek. So the Greek scholars, when they saw the word excellent, no, I'm sorry, they were Greek scholars, but that word excellent in the original Greek is translated different. So put different there and read that, please. Where you see, instead of excellent, put different.
Now from the interlinear Greek text. For thee to prove you the things differing, in order that ye may be sincere and without offense in day of Christ.
The things different. Now that's what. Now we are going to build up. We're going to go right into the things different. What is different regarding the kingdom gospel, and what is different regarding the grace gospel? And I'm telling you, if you do not divide these messages, church, you will be confused. Because God has a different message for a different dispensation. And each dispensation has its rules. But even in the church, even in the governmental arena, we have what we call, right now, we're under, quote, the President Obama, what, economy, dispensation. There are certain directives in this dispensation. Now, so depending on, again, this is not a political arena, but when you're dealing with, say, dispensations, let's say, for example, if you're dealing with the, say, Democrats, you're going to be dealing with what? You know, health, things for the health care, education. Those are the directives in a Democratic economy. When you're dealing with a Republican economy, you're dealing with what? Tax cuts. Amen. A strong defense. And that's, amen. But my point is that in each dispensation, they have different directives. Mm-hmm. And we're going to share this with the church because what happened, understand, all this confusion was going on even in Timothy's time. But Timothy was a student of the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. And Paul instructed Timothy with something very important, and we're leading right into that sheet you have in front of you right now. There's something that Paul tells Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. What did Paul tell Timothy? Understand, let's look at history, church. Timothy's grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice. Understand, church. Timothy was trained under the law. And he had some knowledge of kingdom law because even in the kingdom, Timothy was still around. But now, when God gives Paul a different message, these are some primary instructions that Paul tells his student Timothy in the faith. Deacon Gavin, read chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15.
Again, from 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, King James Version. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rightly dividing, church. The Bible has to be rightly divided. Paul tells Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide the word of truth. Now, moving further, how do you divide the word of truth? Based upon the message, the dispensation, you go with that, the directives. But many times, God's people, in the dispensation of grace, you're jumping over into another economy where you have less information, and you're trying to make that a doctrine. Let me give you an example. See, I'm going to beat up on LSC. I'm not going to point at you. I'm going to point at me today. Had to be 25 years ago, you all know what happened. The new year comes around, you get these in the mail, you get, read the Bible through the whole year. And I was determined, bless God, whatever the Bible say, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Whatever is, I'm going to obey the whole Bible from Genesis through Revelation. So I read Genesis, and I love the story of Moses, and God used Moses, to open up the Red Sea? That was exciting. And I love those stories, Exodus and how God called Abraham. Wonderful story. But then when I got over there in Leviticus and talked about certain dietary restrictions, I said, wait a minute, I want to obey this whole Bible. So what did I do? Wait a minute. I saw pork. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to eat that. So what I did, my wife went shopping. Y'all know what's coming. Look at my daughters over there. I'm telling you, and I'm not ashamed. They can tell you there's a period of time Dad loved the Lord, but Dad was confused. Yes. So now you know $150 worth of food 25 years ago was very. That's like, you can get a grocery, right? Yes. So I went through the labels. Everything that had pork, trash can, threw it away, because the Bible says you have to for everything that eat certain foods, there are dietary restrictions. So I threw it away. I was obeying the Bible. But here's the problem. Here's a problem. There are dietary restrictions under the law. Under grace, there are no dietary restrictions. So how can you reconcile that if you don't divide the Bible according to the directives in that economy? So let's look at some other division here. In the kingdom gospel, the recipients are the commonwealth of Israel. So if you have your sheet, you should have a line in the middle in the kingdom gospel. Put who are the constituents in the kingdom gospel? Mm-hmm. Commonwealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. You should write that down, please, church. Mm-hmm. Write it down. That's it. Over there on the right, who are the constituents in the grace? Notice, grace gospel, kingdom gospel, grace gospel. Who are God's constituents? On the right side, you should write the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. See, for each groupings, there are different directives. Mm-hmm. Again, left side, the commonwealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. Right side, the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. In the kingdom gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to prophecy. Right. So right there, left side, just write prophecy. Jesus Christ is preached according to prophecy. Amen. Now, church, you know that. What happened? God called the prophets. God called Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. What did they do, church? They preached the coming Messiah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's consistent. They preached according to prophecy. In the grace gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to mystery. See, you have to separate, church. Kingdom gospel, prophecy. Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. That was the message to the Jews. Their coming Messiah. The books. But in the grace gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to mystery. Let me pause and let's give you another observation. Church, you know the books of the Bible. Have you noticed? Let's name some books in the Old Testament. Leviticus, Judges, Kings, Daniel, Job, Psalms, Ezekiel. Have you noticed some of those writers, those books are written thousands of years apart. Have you noticed that all the books are consistent? You never hear Daniel fussing at Ezekiel. You never hear Joshua arguing with Moses. All the books are consistent. You know why? Because it's one covenant.
One covenant. Come on with it. Come on with
now, let's go to where our age, we live in grace. Do you ever hear of Ephesians clashing with Colossians?
Never.
Or Galatians clashing with Romans? Those 14 books are consistent. Why? One covenant.
One covenant.
But where's the argument? What's all the fussing and fighting today? You're trying to mix two covenants. You have the old covenant, you have the new covenant, and you have the grace covenant. And church, when you use the proper division, the Bible is a fun book to read. And that is why men of God's people say the Bible contradicts itself. I tell you this, if you don't divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, it will contradict, it will appear. But God's word is consistent. But we need to understand that the new covenant, that's the promise that God gave to Abraham. Deacon Gavin, please go to Jeremiah 31, please. Jeremiah 31.
Got it.
Yes, Jeremiah 31:31, I believe.
Reading now from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning at the 31st verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke.
They broke.
Although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord.
Amen. Now, notice God promised in Jeremiah. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, I'm going to make a new covenant, church. Now, why was there a need for a new covenant? They could not keep the law. No one could keep the law.
Nope.
Now, there are many people now that are trying to keep the law.
Yes.
The law was not designed to keep. No one could keep the law. The law was to only give testimony to that no one could keep the law. So in essence, the message of the kingdom gospel, turn from the law and point to Christ. Turn from the law and point to Christ. And that is the message of Pentecost. Peter, all the Jews from all abroad, Peter came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Say, you men of Judea, turn from the law and point to Christ. That is the message. But at that time, the day we're living in was unknown. The kingdom gospel, they had different rules and directives. Moving further. Now, another thing on your sheet. In the kingdom, I mentioned dietary restrictions. In the grace gospel, there are no dietary restrictions. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27. You see, if you don't divide, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27. Deacon Gavin, please.
Got it?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 10 and 27.
What about this age? In the kingdom, in the law, well, even in the law church, in the law, and even kingdom law, there are dietary restrictions. God had that. That was part of God's directives. You know that today. You know, Jews, you know, they don't eat pork. And many times, God's people today, they are trying to put that yoke on you. No, you eat whatever's before you, but you better eat in faith. You better eat in faith, church. But I'll explain that. Then, Gavin, keep going.
Now we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27, again, King James Version. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake.
Now, church, somebody help me out. In one part of the Bible, there are restrictions. The other part, there are no restrictions. Why? It's a different covenant. So I don't know what Rand is cooking today. So if he has some pork chop or whatever, if he has some rattlesnake or no. But here's the point. Use what? Be wise. If the doctor tells you that bacon is running your blood pressure up, be wise. Leave it alone, church. But you're doing that for physical reasons, not for a biblical directive.
Amen.
Eat whatever's before you. Now, but again, just use some wisdom. In the kingdom law or kingdom gospel, write this on your left side. One day is esteemed above the other.
Right.
See, one day is esteemed above the other. Right. Deacon, go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. This is the part of the law. This is the Bible say this, church. Here's what the Bible says. Watch this. Here's what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Church, it's right there. In the law and kingdom law, one day was esteemed above the other. What was it? Law. I mean, the Sabbath was esteemed above the other days. What about today's day of grace? Deacon Gavin, go to Colossians 2:16. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all getting this now, right? See, if the Bible is divided, it is an exciting book to read. Go to Colossians 2:16. Okay, D, please read.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days.
Notice, in the old writings, law and kingdom law, the Sabbath was elevated by the other days. Today's age of grace,
yes. There's
no day above that's elevated above the other.
Amen.
But somebody said, what's wrong with you, Elder? What about Sunday? Well, what about Sunday? We worship Jesus on Sunday out of convenience, not out of biblical directives. I'm gonna go back.
Hallelujah.
We worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Sunday as a matter of convenience, not as a biblical directive.
Right.
You know, if Pastor Cutler said if he wrote a letter, if he sent the members a letter today, he said, by the way, we're changing. Let's say going to 2017, we're gonna change some things, and we're gonna now have church on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Do you know what? Do you know? On a doctrinal direct, that's okay. It's so you can have service anytime, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, Monday, anytime. Here's the only problem. If Pastor sent that letter out, he'll probably be the only one here because everybody be working. So we. No, maybe I'd be here, Pastor. I'd join. You know, those that are retired. But I know some of you all say, Pastor, we love you, but we cannot have you. I got to go to work. Because the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So in essence, so we do this, why? Because on Sunday, most businesses are closed. They're usually right. And by the way, don't beat up on establishments that have business on Sunday. In fact, my daughter Erica used to sell shoes at Sibley's, and she had mentioned that on Sunday, it's busiest, the busiest day of the week. Well, that's okay. But in my religious right days, bless God, you heathens, you know, you're going to you should be in church. No, no, no. There's no biblical directive for this. Now, for time's sake, I'm moving on. I'm kind of speed this up. In the kingdom gospel, water baptism is physical. In the kingdom gospel, on your left side, kingdom gospel, water baptism. That's the directive in the kingdom gospel. So in the kingdom gospel, water baptism. In the grace gospel, our baptism is spiritual. In the kingdom gospel, and that's one area people will fight today, how were you baptized? Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem. You can say, how were you baptized? Well, in the law and kingdom law, there was baptism. Mm-hmm. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. It's a physical baptism. In the grace contract, baptism is spiritual. I think it's 1 Corinthians 12:13. Deacon Gavin, read that, please.
Now we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized, or were we all baptized?
Word. Yes.
Into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Let's break this down, church. In the law and in kingdom law, baptism was physical. In the grace contract, baptism is spirit. And by the way, he says, for by one Spirit are. The word there, that's an aorist tense. In the aorist, it's past completed action. Our baptism today is spiritual. For by one Spirit, by the way, church, baptism only means identification. When they were baptized in the kingdom apostles, when they were baptized, what did that signify? They identified with the new covenant. Our baptism is spiritual. We identify with the grace covenant. In essence, in the kingdom gospel, we were saved in time. You're saved in time. You're baptized in time. Everything is from the medium of time. In the grace gospel, you are saved in eternity. I repeat. In the kingdom gospel, you are saved in time. In the grace gospel, you are saved in eternity. Ephesians, I know, please, go to Ephesians. They can read my mind. Please, go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. He knew exactly where I was. Amen, yes.
Now, Paul's epistle of Ephesians, first chapter, verses 1 through 4, King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, mm-hmm. to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with each and every or all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, uh-huh. that we should be or being holy and without blame before him in love.
Notice, kingdom law, kingdom. You're saved by water baptism. Saved by, in fact, go back to Moses. You're saved by keeping the law. How could you be saved by something you couldn't keep? In the grace, in our covenant, You are saved because God chose you in him before the foundation of the world.
Before.
Hallelujah. Now, here's the amazing thing about our covenant. I want you to go back in Daniel's day. Go back in Moses' day. You ask the recipient, ask Israel. Let's say if God were to transpose your thoughts, you talk to Moses. Moses, are you all saved? Yes. You know what he'll tell you? He would say, yes, God gave me the law. We keep the law. You go over there and Peter, James, John, ask the disciples, are you all saved? They say, yeah, why? Because we repented and we are following Jesus. We keep the commandments, the law. In other words, they were given the information that they had at that time. But here's the key, church. Moses, Old Testament, Moses, Peter, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, David. They were all saved before the foundation of the world. They just didn't know it. You're only going to get the information that's in those covenants. They just didn't know it, church. But you have more information, church, in the mystery writings, that volume of truth. You would not, it's just not in those other covenants. I'll give you an example. I talked to a doctoral student the other day, and he's working on his PhD in chemistry. And he had, and I knew based upon where I asked him one question, how's the quantitative analysis treating you? He's a doctor, it's beating me up. It's beating me up. So you was a chemistry. And I knew he was working on a PhD in chemistry. Now, I taught ninth grade chemistry. If I gave my ninth grade students, I'm going to give you an assignment on quantitative and quantitative analysis, the first thing they would say, Mr. Liverman, look in the book, it's not there. That's right. It's not there. Quantitative and quantitative analysis is a PhD curriculum. Amen. The eternal works of salvation is a grace curriculum. Saving eternity is a grace doctrine. Once saved, always saved is part of the mystery writings. Yes, yes. It's just not in those other covenants. Yes, yes. And by the way, we're not minimizing the other covenants, church. It's just not there. Mm-hmm. So sad to say, men of God's people, they're going to parts of the Bible where they have less information. And I repeat, read the whole Bible. But do not go into those other covenants for doctrine. You'll be saved today and lost tomorrow. Jesus. You go over there and David, you know, for example. Mm-hmm. Let me give you another example. You go over there and David. David says, Lord, take not thy spirit from me. You know David messed up with Bathsheba. The information that David had at that time, if you mess up, God's going to take the spirit from you. That's the information David had. But thank God, the information we have today, we are sealed. Hallelujah. Until the day of redemption. God save you. That's it. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, somebody said, I can do anything I want to. Now, see, that's the problem. People think grace gives you a license to sin. No, grace does not give you a license to sin. According to God, according to the directives in our covenant, amen, you imitate Christ. Amen. We thank God. Lord, help me to be more. Help me to identify with Christ. Let me help my walk, Lord. But if ever you mess up, we all have messed up at times. That doesn't mean that God just took a bat and said, get out of here, you're on the way to hell. And many of God's people feel that way. Oh, the Bible said Romans, hallelujah, Romans 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. No, 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 no condemnation. If you have a great day, wonderful. If you mess up one day, there's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So if you mess up, ask God forgive you. Move on, church. Move on, move on, move on. Don't beat yourself up. Hallelujah. But if you go outside the directives, now we can close on a couple of things. And one of the things I need to say about healing. See, if you go outside the covenants, church, it's going to cause a lot of problems. In the kingdom gospel, you go there where the Bible says they were all healed. Yes. As part of the directives of the kingdom message is that they're all going to be, Israel one day is going to be healed. But church, understand. That's another thing, thank God. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on the future. In the grace gospel, the focus is but now. So now if you take something that God meant for the future, and then if you transpose that to now, it's going to cause a lot of problems. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a quick example. There was a time when a sister in Chicago that had cancer. So she went to one of these faith healing services. So the minister laid hands on her, said, "Sister, turn over there to Matthew." And that's what she did. She says, "Read what Jesus said." You know, it says, you lay hands on the sick, go over there to Acts. So the preacher said, "Look, if you lay hands, go to Chicago, lay hands on your sister, and she'll be healed." She drove, got a ticket, flew to Chicago, ran to the hospital, and read the scripture. Jesus said, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover." She told the whole family that, "Bless God, my sister's healed." She was so excited. 2 months later, her sister died from cancer, and she had a nervous breakdown. Because what happened, church? Does God heal today? Absolutely, he heals. But God heals today according to his will, plan, and purpose. And if God healed everybody, please, let all the preachers go to Sinai, St. John, lay hands on everybody. No, God heals according to his will, plan, and purpose today. And if you, church, if you teach this, if you preach this, God's people will be stabilized. Another example, a preacher 15 years ago had cancer, prostate cancer. The doctor gave him medicine. He told him, the doctor said, "Take the medicine." He read it, a future, "You'll be healed." Lay hands. He told his church, "No, I'm healed." The preacher. 6 months later, the preacher died. And guess what, church? All the saints, most of the saints scattered. They were so disappointed. And some of you, I think most of you know, Pastor Cutler has two surgeries. And he's still recovering from an infirmity. But during this whole past 2 years, the doctrine, the church has been stabilized because, yeah, amen. Pray, you're sick, whatever, pray for your healing. But understand, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Some of God's people are going to be healed. Some God will use that sickness to take you to glory. Amen. Whatever it may be, church, it's according to God's will. Everything is according to God's will. Now, Rana asked me to give him 10 minutes. I'm going to do that. I'm going to close in 10 minutes, but we're going to close on this. So, amen. Now, church, what are we going to do? You remember, for those of you that just came in, remember when Peter made the statement and Paul's writing, some things are hard to understand? Now, of all the things that's hard to understand, this was one. They go back. We're going to go through to the beginning. Go back to Peter. Praise, it's hard to understand. It's hard to understand. Which is 2 Peter.
3.
Yes. Now, notice Peter said, and Paul in all of his writings, some things are just hard to understand. Did you read that one more time, please?
Again, we are reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, King James Version. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood.
Hard to be understood. Which now, church, I want, in the context of this, if you go about four verses, Peter talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And we all know that is the theme of the kingdom gospel. God is going to one day, he's going to raise this kingdom, this new Jerusalem, this eternal city. Go there in Revelation, talks about the city paved with gold. And that way, that is their heaven. Now, it's sad to say, but many times when I was in Sunday school, when they said, "William, be good, you go to heaven." You know, we heard that. be good, you go to heaven. And we thought that heaven was a trillion. Once you die, you can go, the angels are going to take you trillions and trillions of miles away to heaven. Church, isn't it interesting that the heaven, that beautiful city, is going to come down from the heavens to the earth, reserved for Israel. And thank God, it'd be for, Jesus would be there, so we'll be there. He's the head, we're the body. But here's what we've been taught. We're going to one day go somewhere trillions of miles away. But what's so beautiful about God's workings is this. The heavens. Go to, where is our heaven? So here's the key, church. You have the New Jerusalem that's going to come down, this beautiful city. But guess what? God has something better for you, the body of Christ. Somebody, how can you receive something better than this beautiful city paved with gold? What can be better than that? If they can go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, please.
Three, yes.
Church, hallelujah. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm putting my shouting shoes on now. What can be better than a city paved with gold? You ready to? Yes, please.
Now I'm reading from Paul's epistle again to the Ephesians, and that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
who having blessed us with or in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies, in Christ.
Heaveness in Christ. 5 years ago, the Lord blessed pastors preaching on this. Our heavenly is in Christ. And I said, Lord, you know, I said, wait a minute. Men of God's people are trying to get to heaven. And I said, Lord, I got to have something. It's just so heavy, so deep. It's so deep. So what I did, I was drinking some iced tea one Saturday afternoon. And I was drinking some iced tea, and there was the Wizard of Oz. And we know the story of the Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. For those of you that I was 5 years ago, I tell you, I got so excited. We know the story. Dorothy had Toto. I'm going to close on this story. Dorothy had Toto. What happened? The neighbor. Toto bit the neighbor. And what happened? She came to get to euthanize the dog, Toto. So Dorothy runs from home. And so she runs to a fortune teller. And a fortune teller deceives her to tell her that her aunt, Aunt Am, in Kansas, is sick. Dorothy runs back. You know the story. What happens? A tornado comes. So Dorothy is trying to get into the house. And what happens? A window pane hits Dorothy in the head. Mm-hmm. And what happens? Dorothy's conscious. It moves to another city, Oz. And her whole goal is to get back home. And so what happens? She runs to the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Lion. And in the whole process, and the Wicked Witch from the west, in the dream, the house fell on her sister. So she says, Dorothy, you're dead. So in this whole story, Dorothy all of a sudden is running for her life. And the wizard tells her that if you get the broom, I tell you how to get back home. All of a sudden, Dorothy's scared. The flying monkeys take her. All these crazy experiences. And what happened? The Wicked Witch, they run after Dorothy. And the witch closed the door. And the hourglass, flipped the hourglass, said, Dorothy, you're dead. And Dorothy's frightened. You know the story. As the story ends, Dorothy taps her shoes 3 times. And all of a sudden, Aunt Am is comforting Dorothy. And all of a sudden, when I saw that, because the pastor taught that the heavens in Christ, Lord, I had a glass of tea. I was so excited. I almost spilled on me. I said, wait a minute. Dorothy was at home the whole time. All these crazy experiences. Some of you have gone through headache. You've gone through sickness. You've gone through death. And the Holy Spirit says, you're safe. It's all right. Some of you, your husband left you for another woman. God is saying, you're safe. Some of you, the wife left you for another husband. God, are you saying you're safe? Some of you have financial distress. Some of you, just like Dorothy, went through all of these crazy experiences. She was home the whole time.
Oh,
Hallelujah.
When God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world,
yes, sir.
You have always been in Christ.
Yes.
And sometimes when you were maybe when I was 5 years old, the moment I remember my existence, I was shooting marbles. But I was always in Christ. I was home the whole time. All God did, when you entered this time capsule, God just moved your conscience from the heavens to the earth. And one day, you are in Christ right now. In the heavens in Christ. You are in Christ right now. You're in heaven right now. As I close,
hallelujah.
I'm going to say this one more time.
Hallelujah.
You have always been. Just ran to church.
Yes.
The heavens is in Christ.
Amen.
It's better than the New Jerusalem. And final analysis, what God has for you as the body of Christ is more than what it has for Israel.
Amen.
That New Jerusalem is going to come down from the heavens to the earth because Israel's blessings are limited to the earth. As a member in the body of Christ, your blessings are unlimited in the heavens in Christ. Because our blessings, yes, we are in heaven right now, position-wise. It's just that when we leave this flesh, our conscience is going to resonate to what God, to what's been there all the time. As I mentioned, major in the mystery, that volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. In closing, as you major in the mystery, you'll be focused and determined that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, hallelujah.